It's time for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center. Last August, I returned from a vacation, unpacked my suitcases, and hauled my luggage downstairs to the storage room where Roscoe, our cat, has access to the room through a cat door in the window well. I turned on the light and spotted a suspicious pile of poop. It was black with a musky odor. Perhaps some wild critter has come in through the cat door and exited the same way, I thought to myself. The next morning, all of the cat food had been eaten, and two more piles of scat were on the floor, this time looking lighter, more the appearance of processed cat food. Now I was concerned. Whatever it was still there, probably hidden behind one of the many boxes. Later that afternoon, I shined a flashlight behind the washing machine to remove yet another deposit. As I leaned under the staircase, bingo! Within inches of my face, the light revealed the curled-up body of a large, striped skunk, which was napping in a makeshift nest of insulation pulled from the wall. The daytime siesta was in character, since skunks, members of the mustelid family, are mainly nocturnal, spending the days concealed. This was probably substandard housing for our border. Skunks usually live in holes, which they or some other animal have dug. I gingerly left the room and sat on the stairs above the skunk, beaming kindly thoughts and supplications its way. One factor in our favor was that this was August, not February or March, when male skunks are prone to mating madness, becoming more active and likely to attack and spray. Calls to the Humane Society and Fish and Game let me know that no professional help was available. We were left to our own resourcefulness. Paul, my husband, first leaned a ramp up to the window, but that night we watched the clumsy, frustrated skunk make a futile attempt to leave. Had it been a spotted skunk, adept at climbing, there would have been no problem. We were advised that skunks like peanut butter when they can't get their preferred diet of plants, earthworms, insects, mice, plant nodules, etc. So the next day, Paul constructed a barrier to the rest of the basement and left a passageway to the stairs. That evening, we placed open-faced peanut butter sandwiches on the steps, opened the door at the top, and went to a movie. When we returned, our friend was gone, having eaten two of the sandwiches. What a relief. 3 days and no spray. Perhaps we were spared because city-dwelling skunks are accustomed to humans and because we never presented ourselves as targets. If a skunk feels threatened, it will give warning by first lifting its tail and pointing its anal opening toward the opponent. Next, it will scratch or pound the ground with its forefeet. Then it may hiss with open mouth. If that doesn't suffice, watch out. The skunk can spray multiple times with amazing accuracy at a distance up to 4 meters and always directs its spray at the face. Before dawn the next morning, our neighborhood was permeated with the scent of skunk, a parting shot. This field note was written by Peggy Miller. I'm Allison DeYoung for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center, providing natural history education for schools and the public throughout Montana. For information on upcoming events and programs at the center, call 327-0405 or visit our website at www.montananaturalist.org.